Late Night Gamers.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 12, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable. With me this week and every week is Tim Madden.
Hello, good sir.
Steve Morgan.
Are you ready to rumble?
And Charles Caldwell.
You'll rue the day that you threatened my family.
I don't know. Did I say... I'm Nick Brzezinski. I think I...
You never get the chance to do something crazy.
No, I don't. But
one day we'll just say your name and you can scream.
That's me! So this week we're gonna go into some a lot of console conversation because November 15th, this Friday, starts this console generation, and PS4 launches, and then in 2 weeks after that is Xbox One, which is fantastic after 8 years of not having a brand new console. So we're gonna get right into it. First thing, Microsoft and Sony want their consoles to last 10 years, which...
Huh?
What's that for, Charles?
Well, did they really last 10 years this past time? Not really.
Close.
Yeah, but it's the longest console generation that we've had so far. So I think 10 years would be the next... I don't know.
I think it's possible. I don't see why not.
I guess if they in later versions come out with hardware upgrades to the existing console, and they just call it the same thing, then that would be an issue.
I think that's partially why they moved to the new architecture, and the fact that they're both using the same architecture will make it easier for them to, you know, implement upgrades in the future. Kind of like the way we have the Slims now, we might have
right
PS4 Pro or something.
Yeah.
PS4 paper-sized.
Yeah.
You just have to touch a disc to it. And
PS4 paper.
Screw Google glasses. PS4 glasses. Walking around the world. Ah!
Well, I think if you look at the way hardware is going, it's really plateauing, so it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
i7 has been around for a while now.
Right.
And... I don't know. I just don't see why that's not. I mean, it sounds like a long time, but unless there's a major breakthrough in hardware, there's not really much reason to upgrade.
Right, and I mean, you look at this past console generation, and the games that are coming out now are the best that they've ever looked. You know, it's not like it's not like, you know, 3 years ago they hit their maximum, and it just kind of, you know, the graphics and gameplay and everything just kind of, like you said, plateaued. It's continuing to get better, so coming out with a brand new system with better architecture and everything, I think we could definitely push 10 years.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like, the consoles are, they're unique because they're, totally streamlined. They're not really like PCs where it's, not as optimized. So... But at the same time, I feel like they kind of jump to us, they're staking the ground in terms of hardware, what's out at the time. So it's kind of like as soon as they come out, they're degrading, they're getting worse and worse and worse. So it's kind of a matter of how fast, other hardware speeds up. And I mean, the consoles now have done pretty well. I think PC gaming graphics are obviously better on PC gaming, but it's not it's not insanely better. It's not crazy. There's not a huge gap there right now. So I think with this new generation, there's such a huge graphical upgrade compared to the last generation of consoles. I think it could go for a while.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's good because especially if you take advantage of it, in the next year, you're spending, even if you spend $400, you're spending $400, $400 or $500, depending on which console you get. You're spending that much money over the next 10 years. That's chump change, really. it's a good investment, for sure.
Yeah, especially in the past where you were buying systems every 3 years. And
yeah.
It's a lot different. But I think at the same time, it's kind of hard. It's a little, I mean, maybe they know, but I think it's kind of difficult to predict just like how hardware is really going to go. I'm sure that they have a pretty good idea on this, and that's why they're saying that. But I also get the impression that the Xbox 360 and the PS3 weren't really intended to be going as long as they are. I think, I mean, it's just they realized that like the jump wasn't really necessary because they didn't have to keep up with hardware. So they were able to extend the games out for much longer and, you know, implement them in ways that made them look better, even still on the same system.
Right.
Yeah, I think in saying 10 years, it's more about, fostering confidence in consumers than it is about saying how long it's going to actually be out there for.
That's true, too. Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of the hardware, the Xbox One, it's come out recently that, The Kinect 2, I guess, is what they're calling it, is uses 10% of the GPU, which is dedicated to the Kinect, and developers and whatnot can't use that 10% to maximize their games. And I think that's been part of the issue for some of the graphical disparity between, the resolution. Between the launch games of the Xbox and the PlayStation, which
seems like a weird sacrifice. How much of the Xbox One is devoted to the Kinect? Like,
they're putting a huge emphasis on it, though. Oh, the original Xbox?
Well, I mean, no, it's
the Xbox One. You're saying that they're devoting 10% of its GPU to the Kinect,
right.
And it's taking resources away from games, I mean,
right.
Ostensibly, so...
Well, I'm pretty sure Kinect 1 had a processor in it, and I think this Kinect is kind of integrated into the console. You know, every Xbox One
that's
you buy comes with a Kinect, so... That's kind of the trade-off.
Yeah. I mean, you're paying $500 for the console and the Kinect, and then... I don't know. I bought a PlayStation 4 camera, and
you're paying $500 for them to watch you.
Yeah. I mean, I bought a camera for the PS4. It was like $60, but I don't know. I just hope that both systems get developers to actually use the cameras and take advantage of them, because I think that was a huge problem with this past generation in the cameras. Kinect, even, like, it just, I felt like it was thrown in rather than being, like, bottom-up.
Well, there were a few games some games that you wouldn't expect that used it, like, I think Mass Effect, you could shout out commands to your squad and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Are there many games on the consoles that, like, have the little box in the right-hand corner where you, if you're playing a multiplayer game online, where you can see the other players in their little windows, like, all looking at the screen so you know who you're playing with? Or has that ever been a part of any of this?
That's what they're doing this generation, is, like, I got the PlayStation 4 camera strictly, or not strictly, but a big piece is so then... I can stream gameplay, and I'll be down in the corner, and I can do commentary, and I'm actually really excited about that, because I've never done it before, so I'm probably going to be shitty for a long time, but...
Well, I don't mean just for you when you're looking at your own video, but I mean, like, showing up on other people's screens with, like, all... You're just wearing a black hood, and you get that, like, the ghost mask, and you're freaking them out.
No, I definitely think that's going to happen.
Psychological warfare.
Because, I think it depends on your privacy settings, but you can definitely do that, because like one of the things for the PlayStation 4 is that you're going to be able to have like someone remote into your PlayStation and play, like, use their controller to play your game if you're stuck in a point or whatever, and I think that your like video, your, you know, face and whatever will show up there, and I don't know. It's a weird concept, because there's definitely not that sort of integration now. But
actually, I have a funny story about this. When I first got the Kinect, I don't know if it was when I first got it, but we had it connected, and I was playing like the first Black Ops, and I was online playing multiplayer, just playing, not thinking anything about it, and then all of a sudden at the end of the round, the guy was like, dude, your Kinect is on. We can all hear you. And I was like sitting there having a conversation with my girlfriend, like, what we're going to eat for dinner and talk about that kind of stuff. And they're like, we can all hear you. And I was like, oh, shit.
Embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's good.
Goddamn dog, shut the hell up. Yeah.
I took the biggest shit today. It was awful. Oh my god.
The worst part is I know that we talked about our bowel movements. I know that happened.
That's good. So yeah, I think it's gonna be good. It's really gonna change the whole social aspect of gaming. And I know there's like there's video chat, there's video, like, you can leave video messages for people. The whole being able to, like, just record gameplay no matter what. I mean, that doesn't require a camera, but it's just gonna be so different, like, playing.
Oh god, I hope it just doesn't turn into a bunch of messages with penises in them.
Well,
probably.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if there's a guy on the other end, like, I will, and he's just showing off his ding dong, I will hunt him down and I will punch him in the face.
I mean, I'm sure they'll have a report system and everything.
It's just gonna turn into chat roulette.
It's just, there's just like, there's an option under report, like, inappropriate pictures. Like,
he teabagged my account.
Yeah, that's gonna bring a whole new aspect to Call of Duty with people teabagging. Yeah, you like that?
Oh god.
Awful. Moving on to something else, one drawback to the PlayStation 4 is that you won't be able to change your PSN tag. So whatever name you had before, you're stuck with it now. And
Scuttlebutt 55.
Yep. Or, you know, turd burglar 14, because the first 13 people that took it are
Can you change it now?
No. They continue to like have you keep your
So is that just the gamer tag, or is that like all the aliases that you could go under? Is it always the same thing?
No, it's a gamer tag, but that's the only tag that you have. That's the only thing you use. If you're on PSN, you're known as, you know, I'm the Psychic Fetus, and I'm okay with that. I like that name. I've had it since I was 15. The
because I know that on Steam, it's you have your own account ID, but then you have the username and you can change that at any time. So I was just confused
some games have like a display name and some games don't.
Yeah, I think they're one and the same. But the I mean I guess the thing now is that the new consoles are going to let you use your real name, which I don't want to use my real name. but
why would anyone want to use their
real name? I guess you can use use it with like friends. I think you can choose which people you actually show your real name to, and
it's kinda like Blizzard does this, right, I think.
Yeah. Do they?
I think that's how Blizzard does it. Like, if you're friends with someone, then instead of showing your username, it'll appear as like your name, which is really confusing sometimes because like, for example, my brother's using my dad's account and he starts messaging me on like Hearthstone and I'm like, what the hell?
You dumbass, get over here.
But it's my brother. Okay,
anyways. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. It might be cool, especially if you have, I mean, I think the friends lists are up to like 2,000 people or something.
Could you in theory make a new name though?
You could, like, but you would lose all of your
friends and,
stuff and all of your trophies.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's something I won't. I mean, the 2,500 or whatever 2,600 trophies that I have, I'm not giving up just to change my name.
How come that's so permanent with the PlayStation? Like, have they had any like discourse over that? It just seems like that wouldn't be a permanent fixture.
I don't know.
Maybe people were like changing their name to avoid bans and things like that. I don't know.
Can you change, like, on Xbox Live? Can you change your gamertag on there?
I don't know. I think there is some way. I don't know what the process is, but I think there is some way that you can like submit a change to your name, and then they transfer over all your achievements and everything else that's saved to your Xbox Live account. But it's weird.
Yeah, you can. They have a support item for it.
It's like Sony teaching you a lesson. Like, choose a name that doesn't make you seem like a douchebag for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
This is kind of a divergent topic, but kind of related. So at MIT, they do the same thing with emails and usernames and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first came in, someone I knew, they picked their name as MIT Nerd. So their like email was MITNerd@MIT.edu. And every time they printed something, it would say like your username at the top of the page, like MIT Nerd. And they'd have to like, pull it out of the printer. And like when they had to give their email to like professors, they'd be like, it's MITNerd@.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, brutal. So yeah, do like choose wisely. Choose wisely when you pick a name.
Choose wisely.
Moving on to some day one issues that that each console will have. The each console is going to have a day one software update, which isn't a huge surprise because the systems are boxed like you know a while
you get
ago.
That even when you install Windows on your new computer, right. You're going to have to download like a gigabyte's worth of. Updates to make it usable.
And you know, it's totally fine. I don't have a problem with it. It's not a huge, I don't think they're huge updates, but the thing, like the PS4, without the update, you won't be able to use the Blu-ray player, which is really, like, really weird, cause since it's, like, the Blu-ray player has been in, you know, it's obviously going to be something that they want to keep on there. But then the Xbox One has... like a chief engineer or something, someone who's come out and said that the Xbox One will be basically unusable out of the box for anything, which I think is crazy. But I think it has one of the big reasons is that they've changed their policies so much that they have to basically redo how the architecture and how things work.
How it works.
Yeah.
So you're not always online and all that stuff.
Right. You don't need to use the Kinect. Like you don't, it's, there's a lot that changed. DRM stuff.
It's also probably just, you know, a rush to get out the door.
Yeah.
You know, and they have to start producing all these systems, you know, months ago in order to have them ready for now. So it's, they're obviously using old software, so it's more time productive for them to start making them with old software and then update it day one.
I feel like also, too, although this isn't really probably going to be an issue, I feel like it's also it's a good failsafe for piracy because, you know, if somebody gets their hands on the system months ago and messes with it, it doesn't matter.
Right.
If you have an update that just pops right out. I mean, it just makes sense. It's just a smart thing to do. So I'm sure that's not the main reason, but I'm sure they don't really mind that.
If they were smart, the people who stole it would just hang on to it until they were released, and then just connect and get the update.
Sure, they can, but then they have to do everything over again, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that's not really a major concern. It's probably more what Tim said, just the fact that they have to make these so far in advance. And
yep.
It's just like a guarantee that they have to do an update for it. But with that being said, they also it should technically work even without the update. So they clearly have purposely made the game to not work without the update, knowing that they were going to update it later.
Yeah, I mean, my question is like, what's going to happen to all these people that may not have internet?
Yeah.
Like in the Midwest, that may not have reliable internet usage. That it's just going to like is it? Are you just going to have this like? $500 brick that
what are you gonna do if your ISP's down on Thursday night?
Oh, shit, I'm gonna I'll still be able to play games. That's the thing. I'll still be able to play games.
Oh yeah, because you got the PlayStation. That's you right, yeah. Xbox.
So
you just won't be able to you play Blu-ray.
That's fine. I don't care. I'll be playing non-stop
just
video
as long
games
as
for...
just as long as can't play Blu-ray isn't code for not being able to use discs that are on Blu-ray.
Nick's at Dunkin' Donuts at 1 a.m. like plugging his PS4 in with a TV, like down using their Wi-Fi down the update.
Changing courses a little bit. Last weekend, BlizzCon happened, and something was announced. And Tim, do you wanna?
We predicted it.
Tim, do you want to take that?
Yeah, well, we got a couple things. First of all. we got a trailer for Heroes of the Storm, which I think looks pretty awesome. For anyone who's a fan of Dota or League of Legends, the trailer was really cool, so it looks interesting.
The trailer was really cool, but at the same time, it looked like kind of like Warcraft.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so excited, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But
I was laughing. Also, I was laughing at Diablo riding a horse or whatever.
I couldn't stop thinking about Ryan and his comments on that that Warcraft 3 video. I could just picture him like, "Oh yeah."
Oh god.
But yeah,
so. But yeah, it looked cool.
Yeah, we've actually made. I'm gonna go right out there and say that we've made a few predictions. So we're getting better at this. Like. I think Tim's made 2 predictions so far.
At least
it's yeah. I'm impressed.
Well, like, we made it for the new WoW expansion.
Well, that and there was another one too. It was Star Wars: The Old Republic with the
expansion for that, right?
Yeah, with the being able to control ships or something, or I don't remember what that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, start putting money down. But yeah, so. So that was the first thing for BlizzCon. The other thing was they officially announced Warlords of Draenor, which I talked about briefly last week. But so most of the speculation was true. This new continent, Draenor, which is like Outland but in the past. So I don't know how they're going to do that. Level cap is raised to 100. They're redoing the original character models. You get a garrison, so you get like a fort. Actually, you can build a fort in like different zones in the new map, and then you kind of upgrade it. There's like levels for it's almost like the Warcraft RTS where like you put buildings and then you can upgrade them and get like certain skills for each building.
Oh, nice. I could not understand for the life of me what the hell the plot of the game was supposed to be by watching the trailer. I was like, orcs? Orcs?
Yes. Okay, so I guess what the... Everyone's complaining about all the time travel stuff in this, but apparently what's going to happen at the end of Pandaria is... So the final boss in the last raid in Pandaria is Garrosh, and supposedly he's going to go back in time and take over the orcs... before they become tainted by the demon's blood or whatever. I don't know the actual story, but
he's going to... what's his name? The pit lord in...
Yeah.
It was his blood.
But, yeah, so he's going to go back before they drink the blood and use them to take over, something like that. But apparently you go back through the portal portal from Burning Crusade. It's going to change colors. Instead of green, it's going to be red or something. You're going to go back in time or something, but...
It's Christmas!
Yeah. Lots of jokes with Doc Brown from Back to the Future. But yeah, that's about it from BlizzCon.
Sweet.
Okay.
Well, that's exciting for...
I guess that makes some more sense.
...millions of people. Well, I guess we'll go on to some listener questions. Got a few... Twitter questions this week. I asked people just what their thoughts or questions were about the new console generations, and we got one from @Mercury Crusader, and he said, "I'm excited for another generation of stupid console wars. Console wars never change." I 100% agree with you. It's total garbage. Like, just fucking get over it. It's not like you work for either company, so.
The question is, though, like, a lot of times, like, in every generation of console war, there's always, like, one console that usually gets just, like, wrecked and kind of, like, gets knocked out, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen, or is that, like, kind of trend stopped? Because it really didn't happen
last
time.
What was the trend for between Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, was it?
That's what I'm saying.
Nintendo was kind of the loser in that
bunch. Oh, well, yeah, that's true. Well, Nintendo's never going to be the winner. They're not a top-tier game.
But they were, like, in 64.
Yeah.
But that's three generations ago.
Sure, sure. But I'm just saying, like, you know,
I think it ebbs Sega. It ebbs and flows. It's like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, but do you think that, like, we're at, like, that's the end? Like, now we have no, like, the console wars aren't really wars anymore. They're just two consoles that are going to be, like, competing for, like, titles, but they're not actually going to be, like, a winner.
Oh, it makes you wonder what Nintendo's up to, but I think that's probably true.
What the hell are you thinking?
What's Nintendo up to these days? They're just making playing cards.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, also, we talked about the Steam Box a bunch, and who knows, maybe that's...
Yeah, I think that could be a huge... I mean, they say, you know, Valve says that they don't perceive the Steam Box being a competitor of the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, but I don't see how it couldn't be. You know, there's, I don't know. That's just it's an entirely new console, and it might be. I mean, to get the absolute best one, it might be priced a little higher, but
I think it would eat more into the market share of just like PC gamers who were looking for something that isn't a giant PC, them sitting at their desk.
I think you're right. I think it's gonna pull from the PC market and kind of drive those any PC gamers who aren't necessarily console gamers. It's gonna push them more into the living room, which, if anything, will increase sales for Microsoft and Sony.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, each one's gonna offer something completely different, and I don't know. I think the competition's good.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly clear on what exactly the wars are. Like, what are the... I mean, we've kind of gone over some of the major distinction between the PlayStation and the Xbox One, and it seems like most of it's just about, for at least for this rendition, is you being able to play your games without having to be connected to the internet. I mean, the PlayStation 4 seems like it's more oriented to you just being able to play wherever you want, however you want. And the Xbox 360, they had to do a lot of backtracking because they wanted you to be more connected, and they wanted to have more control over the games that you played.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think...
But, I mean, that's that whole, like, discussion, that wasn't necessarily between, like, user-driven, like, decisions about the two consoles. I mean, between the difference between even the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox, I mean... It was mostly about the games that were on them, and now you see games that are on both, and it's just, it's ubiquitous. I mean, there's maybe a few franchise exclusives for each, and that's the primary driver. Like, God of War is exclusively on, I'm pretty sure is exclusively on PlayStation.
Yep.
And then there's some others that, I mean, obviously Halo is Xbox exclusive. That's not going to change.
Well, I think a lot of those exclusives, the exclusives that kind of Halo for me is what drove me to the Xbox, but now that Bungie's not making it, it's like I don't even want to play it. So I feel like a lot of those exclusives that kind of drew people into systems don't really exist anymore. And other than that, I can't even really think of a whole lot of exclusives for the Xbox that would make me choose that over the PlayStation.
Yeah, I think this console generation above any of the other ones they're probably more on par with each other than I've ever seen before. Like, graphic, or, like, you know, architecturally, they're basically the same. You know, PS4 is a little bit higher powered, but is it actually going to make a difference that you're going to notice? Probably not. You know, the games, most of the games that come out for each console are the same. There are a few exclusives that might, you know, pull one way or the other to certain crowds, but, the, you know, PlayStation camera, the whole social aspect, or like the PlayStation camera and the Kinect and the whole social aspect of it, you know, they're both kind of taking the same, it's not like one is doing something completely different than the other. It's just like they're both pulling from the same kind of bag of
ideas. They got the same checklist and they're just going down it and they're saying, all right, we have the Kinect and the camera. Okay, good. Do we have the functionality of, like, interactivity with the TV where it's not just a gaming, it's a menu system where you can, like, watch a movie on this? Okay, we've got that.
Right.
Can you play games on it? Okay, we've got that. What's the multiplayer component? It's just, all of that stuff is pretty much the same.
Is, like, I don't know, this is, like, kind of what I was getting at, is that, like, I kind of miss back in the day when there was a third kind of party console, like PlayStation was back, you know, in those days, and, like, how Xbox was, that kind of, like, pushed everyone else to try to do something outside of the box, so to speak. I mean, sometimes those fail, and they're not that good, and that doesn't matter, but, like, they're so easy for them to play status quo with each other right now.
Yeah.
And that, like, it's the same way that, like, you know, Call of Duty and Battlefield, they just go back and forth with the same thing, because there's no one else that come in and go, like, this is so much cooler. I mean, I think they're doing a good job, and I have nothing against, like, the console war right now. I just wish it was a real war where there was actually someone coming in and, like, you know, pulling out something completely different, even if it's, like, goofy, like, you know? It's just, like... I don't know if that's the Steam box. It might not be.
But... looking for that innovation.
Yeah, maybe it might be. And we don't. Like I say, we haven't heard anything from Nintendo. I'm sure that they don't really have any plans. But you can always hold out hope that somebody is going to be involved in something.
Well, I think, like, we've generally seen sort of like a feature convergence in consoles. I mean, if you look back in time, you know, each console kind of had like a unique feature about it. You know, the original Xbox had linked play. I don't know if the PS2 had that, but you could, like, link Xboxes up and everyone could play Halo. So that was, like, this cool thing to do.
Massive,
and then,
yeah.
You know, every system had this unique feature that separated it from the pack. And then, you know, at least with this current generation, it's like they've each company has taken all those features and kind of rolled into one. So, what defines each... there's nothing particularly interesting about each system that kind of separates it out from the pack. I mean, there's a few minor things, but it's not nearly what it used to be.
Title-based now.
Basically. Yeah, it's predominantly exclusives, and that's about it.
I think that the one thing that's going to set this, you know, this console war apart is that, you know, each Xbox and PlayStation, the one thing that they're going to have to do is they're going to have the execution to do all of the things that they say they're going to do. And whoever does that better is going to be the winner. And you know, when you're so close with specs and, you know, ability and, you know, whatever else you can do with the system and stuff, then whoever can execute it better is going to be the one that comes out on top.
It might also might into play which one is more financially stable, because I know that I think we mentioned that Xbox, Microsoft was the new feasible CEO was contemplating selling Xbox off from the company to focus more on their Windows 8 being other pieces of Microsoft's puzzle, whereas Sony PlayStation is a Sony product. It's one of their products. It's not as though they would even think about selling it off. It's their primary driver.
Right. It's like the PlayStation is basically one of the only things that keeps Sony alive. Like, I mean, yeah. Their PlayStation or their, you know, video game division has always performed or outperformed like the other divisions that they have. Their television division is awful. They're like plummeting and. I don't know. It seems like a weird choice on Microsoft's side to sell off something that is so, I don't know, big.
Yeah, I bet that they would be the holding company for it. I don't think they would ever.
Yeah, I think that was more of like a financial thing, you know, because they can write that off. They move it to a different company, so it's not. They would technically wouldn't get rid of it. It's not like Nintendo would buy Xbox.
Yes. That would be amazing.
Nintendo Xbox.
It's a me, a Mario.
Oh, that'd be the horrible. That'd be the worst mismatch thing ever.
It's a me, a Master Chief.
Mario models and Halo.
Although, yeah, that's true. Super Smash Brothers would instantly become way better.
So intense.
Samus and Master Chief are basically the same person.
That's true. They're just like... there'd be so much more swearing in games on the Nintendo console now.
You fucking... finish him!
Yeah. Super Smash Brothers is like Pikachu being like, fuck you!
Pika, fuck you!
Clefairy.
Goldeen.
Blastoise!
Let's just go through every Pokemon.
Dude, there's like thousands
squirtle now. Voltorb.
Voltorb. It's gonna watch way too many Pokemon shows.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Scyther!
Oh. Seriously, I watched like four years of Pokemon. I got up in the morning and taped those shows without knowing me.
Snorlax!
Snorlax is my favorite.
Snorlax!
Feel free to just yell out Pokemon names the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, if you think of one, just put it in there.
Onyx! What was this? The smoke one? I don't even remember.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I went ice skating like a couple days ago, and someone had ice skates on their hands, and they started attacking me and saying there was Scyther.
Scyther!
I was like, oh my god.
Nice. Anyway.
Getting back to questions, listener questions, we have at fiction315. He sent it in on Twitter, and he said, if you could trade one franchise exclusive from one console to another, what would it be? That's a fairly tough one, if you can only choose one. Well, from each, I mean, if we went looking at, we have to look at the genre, like each genre, kind of, because like...
I think for me, I'm always looking at the PlayStation games that I want to be on Xbox, because a lot of the Xbox games, they're also on PC, but a lot of the PlayStation games aren't necessarily on PC, so I would have to say it would be a PlayStation franchise I'd want to see transfer over. I'm not sure exactly which one, because there have been some that have transferred over. But
I think also it's kind of like whether or not you have a Western leaning or an Eastern leaning in the types of games you like, because there's a lot more Eastern, you know, Asian themed titles in the PlayStation than on the Xbox.
Metal Gear Solid, isn't it?
A lot of JRPGs that come out on PlayStation that I honestly can't get my head around, but
yeah. No, those are all the games that I'm like super excited for.
Oh,
that's awesome.
I don't know. I mean, for one Xbox exclusive that I've always really liked that I don't even think they make anymore is Project Gotham Racing, because that was, yeah. I mean, that was nasty back on the original Xbox and the 360 when they redid it, or did the sequel, and I just remember playing it on Xbox and being like, oh, this is like awesome. Like, it looks so realistic, even back, you know, 10 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, that
Final
game.
Final Fantasy, probably.
The best part about that game was Geometry Wars. That alone was worth it for that game.
I think the exclusive for PlayStation that I most want to see is just all the Final Fantasies, because I don't think I've played anything past 10, and I would like to.
Yeah.
Well, there's like some of the later ones get real weird, like Final Fantasy 13 and 13-2 and.
I'm fine with weird, as long as I can kill a weird-looking creature.
I'm not a big turn-based, game person.
I gotta switch it out with other genres of games, because you're right, after playing, like, pretty much the first entire series of games that I played was all RPGs. It was, like, Final Fantasy VII, Dragon Knights, name of the game. Basically, all the games I was playing were turn-based, like, We're talking about Pokemon. Pokemon's a turn-based game.
Yep.
Like, so many turn-based RPG games just built in that 3D model, and then they shifted away to game with better graphics. They shifted away to more, like, action-based adventure games. So.
I don't have a problem with turn-based games at all. I think the only thing that kind of bugs me about newer games, and especially like franchise games that do turn-based, is I think they try to make the stories like over cute, and it makes it really boring. Unless you're like really into it and you know the lore and you really care about it, you're just like, oh god, why are they still talking? Like after you play Final Fantasy for like an hour and there's no battles, I'm like, this is so boring. I mean, like if I knew all the storyline, I'd be really excited for it, but like. You know, Pokemon was great. You talk to Professor Oak for like 20 seconds, then you just go in a bush and you start fighting a Pokemon like immediately. You know, it's like,
I hate it.
Let's get to the meat of the game here.
Like, I just wanted to progress. I wanted to friggin' fight every 5 seconds.
Oh crap! A random event happened. 3 seconds after.
You don't realize it until like you go back and play Pokemon again, and you're like, man, this game was grindy. Like,
oh my god.
Yeah.
It was like a grind.
You couldn't get anywhere without friggin' getting attacked by something. Like, oh, something popped out of the ground, something popped out of the bush, something's near the water that attacked you. God damn it.
Yeah, my youngest brother like was playing it, and he was like, you know, he'd never played it, and I was like, yeah, you know, man, you gotta play this, and I was like, yeah, get Metapod, you know, you gotta get Butterfree. he gets like Psybeam, it's so good, and you know, and I'm like, just go, and he's like, he doesn't, you know, he's not leveled. I'm like, you just gotta grind it, man. He's like, this isn't fun. I'm like, it'll be fun. just keep putting him out first and switching him out. So.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so grindy turn-based games.
They teach you about life. Life is hard.
Life is grindy. Yeah.
Life is hard. Kill a Onix.
You need a montage of you playing Pokemon.
Gotta have a motherfucking Pokemon montage. Pikachu! I think that montage for Pokemon was at the beginning of the show. I wanna catch them all! That is the montage.
Yeah, basically.
Gotta catch them all, gotta catch them all. Pokemon!
So good. You guys have any other franchises? Crossovers?
I think the one that first came to my mind thinking about this was, not that I'm a big fan of this at all, but Halo going like over to... I know it went to PC, but like PlayStation. That was like the one thing about PlayStation.
Yeah.
Everyone played Halo.
Yep.
Like everybody played it. And it was like, if you didn't have an Xbox, you're just like, this is unfortunate.
Yeah, that was...
Because I never had one.
I think Halo was kind of like the golden eye of that, of at least the Xbox and PS2 generation.
Yep.
Yeah, there was some... what was the other... There were some multiplayer games on PlayStation 3. I know one of the...
Yeah, there were a lot of them, actually. Lots of multiplayer games.
Like... Well, no, I mean the first-person shooter like Halo.
Killzone?
The name of Resistance?
It. Yeah. Resistance,
yeah. There's Killzone and Resistance, and...
I think in terms of shooters, it's kind of like shifted over to Call of Duty and Battlefield.
Yeah.
So it's not as important anymore. But...
Third-party. I like playing the first-party... FPS games that come out, but I kind of stick to just the Battlefield, you know, just sticking to that one one franchise.
Yeah, I usually only get one game like that.
It's too expensive to go for two.
No, it's just fun to level up in one, and you don't necessarily want to devote 1,000 hours.
Yeah, I mean, not only is it expensive, but it's also like a time devotion.
Extremely
time.
Yeah, oh my god.
How many hours did you put in Black Ops 2 against
me? 450. My max prestige, so.
Prestige!
My father-in-law.
Suck it.
He got a PlayStation 3 after he played mine, and we play online. We play Battlefield 3 together, like, all the time. And
is he better than he used to be after all the blueberries?
Oh my god, he is. He's actually ridiculous. Like, the thing he's best at is flying jets, and he just, like, he's nasty, and he's, you know, he's, like, 58 years old. He's just, like, he's never played video games before, and he starts out at fucking Battlefield 3. And he's, like, he's nasty, and he's, I think he's put, it's the only game he has for the PlayStation 3. And he plays it every single day. And I think he's put in, I want to say, since it came out, like, 30-something days worth of like gameplay. Good. Like that's pretty ridiculous for a 58-year-old guy.
Those are WoW numbers.
Yeah,
seriously. 42 days is last what I logged before I quit WoW.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just look at all my characters, and I'm so glad that they don't have, like, an account days played. Because it's, like, account months played for me.
Yeah, same there.
That means it's like a percentage of my life.
Well, everything is a percentage of your life.
No, it's a percentage, like, not a fraction of a percent. It's like... a percent of my life. Sometimes I'm over 1% of my life spent on just WoW. It's bad. It's wrong. It's just depressing. So bad.
No, it's fine. It's fantastic.
Just one game. One game of grinding. And then all of a sudden, new expansion. Boom. Free 90s for everybody.
It jumps up another 5%.
Free 90s.
Anyways. Is that what is that what they're talking about with the new?
Yeah, you get one free 90 with the new expansion.
What?
That's nice.
So you can boost any of your existing characters, or you can make a new level 1 and just boost it right up to 90.
I think Dundo's gonna have the priest is gonna have to become a level 90.
What is he, 70? You should just do a level 1 guy.
No. Do a different class.
I mean, I'm excited. I get another free 90. I don't gotta grind up, so.
Yeah, there's no way I'm reinstalling.
All right. Well, I think we got a little off topic, but the
sure,
that's fine. Going back to the console theme, we our top five this week. We have the top five game consoles that should have done well but didn't. And these are the consoles that either had, like, a really good console before them and a good backing and should have done well, or were actually awesome consoles that just didn't do well for whatever reason. That first console that we brought up was Dreamcast. And I don't know, did any of you guys own Dreamcast?
No.
I didn't, actually.
I remember playing it, but...
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, I mean...
Was this Sega Dreamcast? Was that what...
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel like...
Eric Campbell had it. He used to bring it over and he used to play it.
Yeah, it was... I mean, it was cool. It was... I mean, it was disc-based, and it was, like, all kinds of, like, weird features that they were trying to do with it, and they were trying to do online, and then, like... It just stopped, and they totally got screwed over. I don't know.
I always wanted it because it had it was like a little, almost like a memory pack that you put in the controller that had a screen. It was like one of the first consoles where it had a kind of like a screen on the controller.
Yeah.
And there were a few. I'm pretty sure there was a Sonic game where at some point in the Sonic universe they added these weird little creature things. I forget what they're called, but they're kind of like Digimon or whatever, or like little, you know, it's like almost Pokemon. But if you had the little pack thing, you could like take it with you and level up. You know, it was like a little mini game that you could level up your pets, and then when you bring it back and plug it in and load your save game, and you know whatever you did, you know, on the little thing would carry over to your game on the Dreamcast.
Dang,
nice.
So yeah. it was like you were constantly immersed in the game. So like, I mean, that would have been like crazy for me because I was just taking it to school and like learned nothing.
Yeah,
it was I feel like they were trying a lot of innovative stuff, and sometimes it pays off and sometimes it doesn't. And in this case, it didn't. And yeah, it's too bad. And I think Dreamcast was the last system that Sega tried to make. And then they went on and did, they just became a developer instead.
Yep.
But that brings us to number two. I feel like there's a theme going here.
Yeah, there is a theme here.
Number two, which Steve brought up.
Yeah, I can bring this up. So we're going to keep shitting on Sega here. But this one was basically the beginning of the decline for Sega. This is the Sega CD system. And I think, I could be wrong, this was one of the first systems to use CDs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not like yeah. the name doesn't necessarily have to imply
right,
it. But,
right, no, I think it was.
I think it was. So, I mean, it's like one of those things where they really did innovate, like something new, but it just didn't seem to pan out. I don't even remember like the games that were on the system. I didn't own the system.
I didn't either.
So they just put it together. They put the design together, and PlayStation's like, "Oh, that's a good idea."
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They just crushed.
Yeah, actually, I just looked up the date. So Sega CD was released in 1991, and PlayStation wasn't released until 1994. So, I mean, it's something where like they went. I mean, games now we still play. You know, the PS4 is Blu-ray, but it's still basically a compact disc, and you know, that style of transferring games from cartridge form to disc form was, and they were really an innovator in that, and for some reason, just never really caught on. I mean, probably more title-wise than anything. But this was kind of like big expectations coming after Genesis, and it just never really panned out.
I can remember being in the like rental store, and we were looking at Genesis games. They had like the big boxes, and they were like, "What the hell is that?" And it would be like, there was like three Sega CD games. So it was like, "What? There's no cartridge, man. They're like flat." No. So it was like this. I don't know. It was just cool being a kid seeing that. Like, I want to get it. I want to play that. But
man, that brings back nostalgia. Those freaking cartridge containers.
So big.
They were enormous. I mean, do you remember what the original like PC game boxes were?
Those are the best, man.
Yeah.
Holy crap! They were like, you know, they were like a textbook.
Diablo 2.
Well, it's like when yeah, you go and really buy a thing of paper now, like printer paper. It was basically that big.
A ream of paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to get like King's Quest V. It was on so many floppy disks.
Freaking floppy disks.
Do you remember? I think it was called like Babbage's or something. It was all they did was computer games, and it was like all along the wall, like. Like, the store was huge because the games were so huge, you know?
It had to be.
Yeah.
The ceilings were, like, 15 feet tall.
Yeah.
Not to go off on this topic, but remember how, like, games were in floppy disks, and there were so many of them. I remember trying to install, like, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. Or something,
oh, man.
And, like, I was missing, like, the fourth floppy disk out of six or something. Yeah. I was like, what the hell? Sucks. Anyways, ridiculous.
Well, that brings us to our third one, which is kind of a mix of a bunch of different handheld consoles, and
let's just keep shitting on Sega.
Yeah, let's start with the Sega Game Gear. Now, this one, the Sega Game Gear, was something that I absolutely loved.
I liked
it. It was fantastic.
Too. No one didn't like the Game Gear.
It was just like Well, first of all, it was backlit, it was color, it was like,
yeah.
It was, I mean,
crazy. I want you to think about how ridiculously, like, ahead of its time Game Gear was at the
it
time.
It was awesome. I mean, like.
It was monstrous.
It was, it weighed like 10 pounds, and.
It had like six AA batteries, which was like insane. They died
for,
like, in
like
an hour. Yes.
You just constantly had to be plugged in. It was just.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't as portable as they wanted it to be, but
I just remember they had this attachment that you could watch TV on it, like you could pick up like radio signals, and I wanted that thing bad.
Right.
I wanted it so bad because I was like, I can have a portable TV, but they have portable TVs already, like that you could buy that were like half the price of a Game Gear.
It's basically the precursor to the PSP, is what the Game Gear is.
Yeah,
precursor to everything you own now.
Yeah, it's true. I mean that truly was like an innovative thing, and it had like Sonic, and it had a lot of big games for it. And I remember playing it. One of my friends had it, and I was just like, I love this thing. This is so much better than the original Game Boy. Like,
I think it was like the first handheld that people could like almost actually rationalize getting a handheld over like an actual console, because it was so good. The only downside was that it was, you know, giant and bulky, but it was almost on par with a Genesis or a real console.
Yeah.
Well, Moving on, this is the same category, or this is still our number three, but we're just kind of fitting in three different handheld consoles into the same one, and that's the Game Boy Color, which is basically the bad version of a Game Gear.
The poor man's version.
I don't know why they even thought that it would be a good idea, because the color didn't add anything to the game. It's like, oh yeah, all of a sudden the pixels are going to be red instead of gray. It's like... Well,
the Game Boy Color came out way after the Game Gear, too.
Yeah, I feel like it was one of those Nintendo responses to, like, they're like, shit, Game Gear's got color, you know what we're gonna do? Fill in some of our shit with color. Yeah.
I think it was driven by Pokemon, honestly. They came out with the red and blue cartridges, and they're like, we need to have the Pokemon be red and blue, okay, let's go.
True story.
Yeah, that was, and that one, that one wasn't backlit. So it had, like, an attachment where it had, like, basically a reading lamp that you had to attach to it. And it was just like, I don't want this. This is not fun.
Is this all of this supposed to fit in my pocket? Because I don't think it's going to.
And it never worked because it always reflected the damn light off the front of the glass. It wasn't made for that.
You had to play it looking at it at an angle.
It's sideways, just like... yeah.
Well, speaking of pocket-sized things, another handheld game console.
Another failure.
The Game Boy Micro, which I think this came out for literally like 2 months, and then they stopped making it. But
it actually came out. I think it was after the DS, so it was kind of like the DS was already out. They just kind of made it.
It was really weird.
Oh god, I completely forgot about this. I had to Google it. Wow,
it's like.
So bad.
It's really tiny. It's smaller than an original NES controller, and it's set up the same. It's got the D-pad and two buttons, but there's a screen in the middle. So you're like, I can't imagine like having your fingers like constantly in the way and just like, I don't know. It doesn't seem, because they're not that far away from the screen. It's like a 2-inch screen.
Yeah, at one point I was looking on eBay and I found one for like. $20, and it was a total impulse buy, but I was like, I need to buy this. And so now I play Pokemon on it. You know, it's cool. You can play old Game Boy Advance games and stuff.
No, that's sweet.
Kirby.
That brings us to number four, which we're gonna continue to shit on Nintendo. And
GameCube. They had so much momentum coming out of N64, and then they're like, the GameCube! Everyone loved the GameCube, and then they immediately dropped it like a year later for the Wii.
Yep.
This is a perfect example of someone trying to do something that seems like it would be a cool idea and failing miserably. The disc sizes. Like, what the hell were they thinking? Like,
those things were indestructible. You could slice somebody with those things and they wouldn't even get dented.
Yeah.
Like, they thought it was like something off Back to the Future or something, but it turns out, like... You can't hold as much data on a small disc.
The GameCube was pretty indestructible, though.
Yeah,
that is true.
I think we had this conversation.
You could like smash that thing up and down. Yeah. It was the black box of consoles.
It's true, except it couldn't tell you anything.
I think this is kind of like an arguable one, because I think that, you know, for what it was, the GameCube did have some cool stuff. You know, maybe not part of the console originally, but I think the WaveBird was kind of something crazy that they came out with. The fact that they had a wireless controller and you know, it's true that I think it was kind of Nintendo, almost the nail in Nintendo's coffin, because it was kind of like, at that point we had the Xbox, we had the PS2, and it was like,
right.
This thing is kind of, you know, if I have the choice between like a kind of a dumbed down, you know, little tykes thing and something shiny with like ultra violence, I'm gonna go with the violent thing. So it was kind of like, you know,
the GameCube was Nintendo's Dreamcast.
Yeah, Dreamcast.
It was just that console that was off on the periphery that was almost as good, but just wasn't as good at all.
Well, and I feel like they didn't support it game wise as well as they probably should have. I mean, there were a lot of good games because they had a Mario Kart, they had a Zelda, they had a. What was the Mario game on that? Like
the Sunshine.
Oh yeah,
exactly. So this is like the thing about like the common theme of a lot of these is like you need like that title, like you need that Halo,
right.
You need that. Like, I mean, PlayStation 2 had a lot of great games, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, you just need that title so that someone goes, like, hey, I'm going over my friend's place to play Smash Bros., like, Melee, and everyone's like, you know, F, like, I really want to play that game, and I need to get that system.
Yeah, they took, the GameCube took, like, a weird, like, artistic turn, and they were like, oh, here's Super Mario Sunshine and Wind Waker, and, like, I don't know. It was a great game to a lot of people, or both of them were, but it's a niche market to go, you know, and do that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's really for kids, and I think they didn't realize, like, the potential of adults playing video games. I mean, yeah. You can't sell a whole console on spraying water on goop and you know, sailing around the ocean.
I think
a cartoon guy.
Yeah, it was also kind of like the coming of age point for younger gamers. You know, the kids who grew up on the NES and then, you know, Super Nintendo, then Nintendo 64, like, they at that point, they had grown up, you know, so they weren't going to, when they were faced with the choice of something more adult, they're not going to stay with Nintendo, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Number five.
I can do this one. You guys can agree or disagree on this, but I put this down. This is Atari Jaguar. And for two reasons. I mean, we've talked about it before on this, and I think this was kind of, like, keeping in the theme of, like, systems that had high expectation and kind of dropping off. This was kind of like,
what the hell is this thing? I'm looking at a picture of it, and I'm like, it looks like a little bomb.
This is like Atari's, like, last hurrah in, like, the gaming console industry. They had some, like, failures, like, before it, but this was their last real system. And if you look at the games and stuff, it actually came, I think it came out 3 or 4 years. It came out in 1993, and the N64 came out, like, 3 years later. But it actually has, like, you know, 3D games. It has, like, you know, things that we didn't see before. So, you know, games that were, like, actually 3D and stuff before we saw them in, like, you know, PlayStation and N64. So it had some things that were kind of cool. It had, like, a giant controller with all these buttons on it.
It has, like, a number pad.
yeah, it has all kinds of shit, you know. So, but at the same time, it just flopped. Literally, it came out in 1990, what did I say, 3? Came out in 1993 and it was discontinued in 1996, so
that's no good.
It was actually literally the definition of a flop.
I just read an article recently about this. After they discontinued it, they wanted to recoup some of their money, so they ended up selling the plastic mold for the Jaguar to, like, some company that makes, like, dental fixture things. So if you go to a dentist's office, there is a chance that you will see an Atari Jaguar machine mounted to the wall with, like, tubes and stuff coming out of it. They might be spraying water in your mouth.
Oh my god.
Out of the Atari Jaguar. But look it up. That's awesome. It's a real thing.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Jinx.
So it was useful for something. Innovators.
Yeah. What's weird about it is that the entire system, it looks like a weird, like, it comes in, like, pieces. Like, it's like a, it has, like, a CD piece and a cartridge piece and a, I think, isn't that what that is?
No, it has, I think it had cartridges.
I think it's a CD player.
Yeah, the cartridges is it's the hole in the back, it's a cartridge.
But I think that there's, like, an attachment for CDs.
But it looks like
CDs.
They might have had an additional attachment.
Yeah.
It looks like it's got a bunch of weird stuff coming out of it. It looks dangerous, it looks like something that the Empire would make.
It looks like something that would stop working after, like, 2 weeks. Well, that is the end of our top five, and that brings us right into what we're playing this week, because we're getting toward the end of the podcast. So, what are you guys playing?
It hasn't been very long since we last met, so I am still playing Call of Duty Ghost. That's right. I'll throw out something. I've been playing this game on my phone called Conundrum with a K. It's just a puzzle. It's just a puzzler game. But if you want to kill the time, check it out. It's on Android. It's free.
Sweet.
Any improvements in Call of Duty Ghost?
They're coming out with a update, I think, in this week, like the 15th, I think. But I don't think it's gonna really fix anything. I think it's more for bugs and things that are issues.
So still no buy.
I'd hold off. For a little while, at least.
Yeah, my Call of Duty playing has definitely taken a plunge. You know, I go on every once in a while now, but it's just too frustrating to like play continuously like when I first came out. But I've actually been, in preparation for the new WoW expansion, I've been leveling up some of my old alts. So I have 490s now, so I'm trying to get a couple more.
Dang.
That's some time right
but,
there.
So if any listeners play on Skywall, I have three Alliance characters over there. And then I have one Horde character on Uther. So.
Uther, that's where Dundo lives.
What class are you gonna roll in the new expansion?
I don't know. So I have a 90 paladin, mage, rogue, and warrior. So I'd like to. I have a monk that's like 60 something. So I don't know what I'm gonna do.
That's
next.
A class.
Yeah, what? Dude. Come on, get with it.
Yeah, geez. But yeah, I'll probably save whatever the most frustrating thing to level, I'll save that for the free 90.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that on my warrior. Yeah. Cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, warrior's OP right now, so.
Really?
Yeah, big time. But yeah, that's about it.
Charles.
I am currently playing Hitman. I'm getting closer to the end, and I have finally broken down, and the Humble Bundle, like, couple weeks ago, one of the games in there was Battlefield 3, so I had never played Battlefield 3, so I installed it and started playing.
Are you playing?
How long did you play? Sorry.
What's that?
I was going to ask you, how long have you played?
Oh, Battlefield? It's been like 4 days. I installed it and totally sucked the first couple games because I wasn't used to controls, and now I've gotten to a point where I've got a slightly higher kill to death ratio.
That's good. You're playing. You're
are there
playing.
Still a lot of people playing.
Yeah, there's. I mean, there's servers that are there. It was weird playing where you're playing out of a browser instead of a game client. I didn't know that the game was like that at all. It was very strange. At first, I was like, "Is this a virus on my computer?" But it seems to be working okay. I got a few messages about Punkbuster, and I was like, "Screw you, Punkbuster! Get out of my freaking face!" But.
Hacker.
I know, right? I just installed the game. How can I be hacking? So, so I haven't had any issues since then, but it's still weird.
Nice.
I have no idea how to do any of the other stuff.
Oh, no, I was just... he answered my question. I was just going to ask if he was playing multiplayer or the single-player game, but there's no point in playing the single-player game because it's not good. So, be...
I'll probably play it.
Be warned. I played, like, probably... maybe 2 hours of the entire single-player campaign, and then I was like, yeah, what am I doing? This is not why I bought this.
I don't think I've ever played the single-player in any of the Battlefield games.
No.
I played it in all of the Call of Duty. I pretty much play it in every action game that I get first, so I can learn all of the controls and everything I'll need to know for multiplayer, true. But...
I'll definitely be playing in Ghost to get my money's worth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can just go watch the cutscene from the last one, and then you'll be...
Well, let's see. What was I playing? I rented from Redbox Beyond Two Souls for PlayStation, and I have very mixed... I beat it, because I had a 3-day weekend, so... I have mixed emotions on it. The storyline jumps around. It's like it's the one that has Ellen Page and Willem Dafoe and stuff. And I mean, like I liked parts of it, but it was so like disjointed to me, the whole storyline, that it just didn't come together the way I would have wanted it to. You play like snippets of Ellen Page's life, and you'll start out as a child and then go to a teenager, then she'll be adult, and then you'll be back to child, then back to adult, then back to teenager, then child, then adult, then child, then child. And it's like, I like lost track of what was going on. And...
That sounds like me when I was watching Cloud Atlas. It was just completely befuddling. I had no idea what the hell's going on.
But, I was actually watching this game on Twitch for a little while. I watched it for like an hour or so, and I was like, this doesn't make any sense. And no. I just figured it was because I only watched for a little while, but apparently it really didn't make sense.
No, it was just like, it was so all over the place, and there was like only a few scenes that I actually really enjoyed. I felt like, I didn't feel like it was any, like, actual gameplay to it. It was kind of weird, because it was just like, I just feel like it was a bunch of extended, like, cutscene, like, you know, quick time moments, instead of actual...
You don't get engaged in the game.
Ever. No.
There's some games like
that. All you do is you walk around, and then you kind of start up a scene, and then you have to press a button or swipe left or swipe right or, you know, whatever. And that was basically the only thing. And
that drives me crazy.
You can talk to other players and you can tell them truth, lie, evade, do these things, but it doesn't seem like any of what you're saying actually, makes a difference, and that was kind of annoying to me too. But I will tell you that you can play as a ghost and you can play as Jody, because they're connected and she always has this ghost around, and the ghost I would always choose to be violent and like destroy. I would just like smash every piece of glass or television or anything in the room, and like I chose to like burn down these people's house because and then every chance I got, I basically made Jody like a floozy, because every guy that she came across where it would give you the option to kiss, I would just kiss them. It was really odd and awkward, but there was one really good scene that I wish more games would actually take like lore from. Is there's like it was really weird, but there was a whole like Native American scene. And they're, like, from the Navajo. She goes and spends some time with, like, some Navajo people. And they have kind of, like, a ghost, like, you know, a netherworld sort of storyline to them, too. And I don't know. It was just really cool. And that was something that I wish actually could have been expanded apart. Like, basically made the entire game rather than the rest of it. But that's it. So that brings us to the end of our podcast. I'm gonna say we're done. Thank you, Mercury Crusader. Thank you, Fiction 315. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. This is Late Night Gamer Podcast, episode 12. And we'll be talking to you after the PlayStation 4 comes out, and I will have lots to say.
Good night.
So, later.
Bye bye, y'all.
They're gonna play Manhunt on Xbox. And hunt the most dangerous game, and it isn't flowers.
What? I don't even know what that means.
Right. I'm just gonna completely disregard Charles's outburst there and go with
space.
number five.
I could.